Hey everybody, Andy Jukes here, and welcome back to Ride and Talk. I think you're going to love this one, even if you're not a Superbike fan. It's Tom Sykes, BMW Motorrad World Superbike Factory Team Rider, and what a top bloke he is, and very funny too. We had a lot of laughs doing this one, and it's the only time I've ever had a podcast interrupted by a budgie. Whatever next? Anyway, let's go and meet Tom at his home in the UK. Tom Sykes, welcome to Ride and Talk. It's great to have you join us on the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a fine day and Ride and Talk sounds great. Let's do it.
Yeah, now before we talk about World Superbike, I just wanted to ask you about which BMW road bikes you enjoy most, because obviously the last thing you'd want to ride on the road is a race replica, but I've seen photos and stories of you on GSs, R9Ts, and yesterday when I was trying to get hold of you, you were out on the formidable R18. I'm interested to know how you rate all of these BMs.
Well, yeah, really, I mean, credit to BMW, really. They have such a fantastic range of motorcycles, and like you've just said, I've been very lucky, you know, and riding all of those. So like the GS, I was actually just talking to my granddad a couple of days ago and actually speaking to him about the GS adventure that we did in Australia, and I have to say that I'm 35 year old, and these are the words I said to my granddad. I said, I can't believe I'm 35 years old and only just found out about, you know, about the luxury, if you like, that they have in Australia, because we had 3 days of riding and didn't really come across any other vehicles. Obviously, we came across some snakes that you wouldn't want to get bitten with, because you won't get to hospital in time from where we were. But so the GS, great adventure it was, and then like you said, the R9T, you know, cafe racer, you know, that kind of thing. It is really such a lovely bike to ride, so easy, very comfortable position, and yeah, that was my runs for the coffee race, let's say, and now, yeah, with the R18, that as soon as I saw that bike, that was on my wish list. That was such a beautiful bike, or is such a beautiful bike, and yeah, I just happened at the end of last year, I needed to make a phone call to BMW anyway regarding some things, and when they mentioned that they'll have an R18 available for me, I thought, happy days, I'm not going to say no to that. So yeah, got in touch with Dane Easy and Shark, got all the matching gear, and I tell you what, I look all right, rolling down the road, if I may say so myself.
Just, have you got, you've not got a pet parrot or parakeet, have you, in the house?
listen, it's not my choice. Do you need me to move location?
I do. What is it?
Yeah. It's a bloody budgies, aren't they? Hey. We can move. Listen. Yeah, it's a poor man's version of a parrot. So, yeah. Still, I tell you what. Let me sort them out.
Yeah, you don't need to literally sort them out for me. I wasn't there. Apparently, if you put...
Keep it quiet there, will you? Hey, you wanna see? It's worse when I get a movie on. I just get settled into it, get all my side tray set up with my biscuits and my cup of tea, and then they fire up, and yeah, I'm thinking, here we go. Test it. It's just character building. It builds your patience.
It is. I've had podcasts interrupted by all sorts of things in the past, but never by a couple of budgies. So there you go.
Well, you wait for the grand finale, kid. 1 second. Just let me go and get me a glass of water. Yeah, yeah. Cheers, lads. Yeah, yeah. You sport my comfy seat.
Whose idea was the budgies then?
Oh, kids in it. Next week it'll be something else.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, like, I shouldn't say this really, but if it doesn't work out, they don't live for too long, do they?
That's brutal. That's I tell you what. And there's me thinking you're a good lad. Yeah, no. Well, I've got plenty. I've got building work around the back, so we can always lose them.
Okay, fine. Yeah. And on that note, is a building work about to start in 10 minutes? Should I speed up?
No, we're good. We're good. I'm all yours now.
Back to the riding, and you're talking about the R18. And when you do ride for fun or for relaxation, do you enjoy the anonymity that putting on a helmet brings? I mean, I'm presuming you don't slip the old Sykes replica on when you're going for a spin unnoticed.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't put it on. I mean, you know, social media and you know, blowing my own trumpet. It's never my thing. I kind of get a bit shy, a bit embarrassed for that, really. I mean, you'll see on my, like on my social media, I'm nowhere near as active of what, you know, what other people are, you know, other riders, should I say. And it's funny. So coming back to that, slipping on the Sykes replica, no, it's, I don't know, I just feel a bit uncomfortable doing it, really. It's just the way I was brought up. But I do love getting ready, especially on days like today. I mean, you get the bike out the garage, get your leather, you know, leather jacket on or whatever you may be. You know, in my case, it's generally just you know, some riding jeans and leather or textile jacket, open faced helmet, and that's it, really. I mean, I don't go anywhere too fast. That's for sure. It's all about enjoying the bike, enjoying the riding, and yeah.
Is that the appeal of a bike like the R18 for you then? Because it's a completely different experience than, yeah, obviously, you know, your day job.
Oh, very much so. I mean, to me, it's chalk and cheese, and that's. I mean, I'm naturally attracted to those bikes anyway, you know, like we've just mentioned. But yeah, it's just when I'm away from the racing. Yes, I've got an M5, but I always make a joke. I bet it's the slowest M5 in the UK, this thing. It's and it's same with the bikes. When I'm not racing, I just want to take it all in. That's it, really. Yeah.
I can hear a bit of background noise, almost as if there's just a little bit of a buzz. Can you hear it? I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get... We're going to do this podcast from every room in the house, aren't we?
Don't you worry about it. Variety is the spice of life. What was it?
Well, whatever it is, it's stopped now, so...
Let me sort this out.
Oh, hang on. Did you do that on purpose?
Let's get
sorted,
yeah.
Oh, it's a blind, is it? Is it a remote-controlled blind?
Well, you know, it's
you lazy git.
And listen, you don't. It's all about preserving energy, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, and when you're 35 year old, you know, you every little helps. Right, go for it. I'm all yours now.
That must be a big window because that blind's taken a while. Oh, wait, okay, we got it.
We're sorted now, yeah.
Oh, we've got some nice audio in this room. Is it a smaller room? We were in the cathedral earlier, weren't we? Because it sounded a little bit echoey, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one of my singing rooms. This one. No, this one's, yeah, we've got a bit more soundproofing in this one.
The audio's nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
this should be your interview room because the audio's good, so.
Well, you could say it is my interview room in some aspects. It's, yeah, it's the bedroom.
Ah, got you. Right. We're all sorted. Anyway, so, where were we? Where were we? Oh yeah, I suppose I better talk about World Superbikes.
Well, yeah, you can do, yeah.
As we speak today, it's almost 6 months to the day, in fact, since the last World Superbike race took place in Estoril, I believe. And obviously there's nothing else that compares to racing, not even testing. So how have you kept your skills sharp over the past half year or so?
Well, this is a talking point. You know, a lot of riders, again, they do the supermotos, they do the mini bikes, and I don't know, it's one of those, really. Every person's different. It was funny, we went to Jerez for the test, and obviously with the new, you know, M1000RR, and it was quite funny. Basically, we had two bikes. The first bike we jumped on, we did... three installation laps, really, just to double check, because it was a brand new build. Jumped off that, jumped on the other bike, did the same. And then, seven laps. And then went back out on the bike to get up to speed. And, you know, after two laps, we were back into the 1 minute 40s, which is, I don't know if you know, but that's not a bad lap time for the superbikes around there. So it was quite funny after such a long time off the bike. I just fall straight back into it, really. So I feel very lucky in that respect.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, let's just talk about your private life at the minute without being too private about it. But, you know, while many have struggled with the pandemic, others have found the distancing and the obligation to stay at home a real mixed blessing. So how's that whole lockdown experience been for you?
Well, yeah, I think in life you can, you've always got to make the best of the situation, make the best of a bad situation, and yeah, take what you can from it. You know, same in racing. You know, I always think you can only do what you can with the toolbox that you've got, you know, that kind of thing. So it is what it is. I'm very lucky. I am where I am, you know, put a lot into where I need it to get to. Like I say, I feel lucky and really quite blessed that, you know, that I've got a nice house, bit of land and everything, because honestly speaking, you know, I can really see that if, you know, if I was in one of the houses that I got when I was 19, you know, just like a three-story townhouse, things would have been a lot more challenging for, you know, for somebody like myself who likes to be outdoors. And so, yes, I can see that there's been a big struggle nationwide in that respect. And but like I said, I found that I'm quite lucky. I'm really quite self-contained here with my gym, you know, a nice south-facing garden at the back and one thing and another. So I was able to continue with my life in a fairly normal routine, to be honest. So yeah.
Yeah, could have been worse. So, but as someone who's usually on the move and more often than not overseas, I bet your kids have enjoyed having you around more then.
Exactly. Yeah, obviously, you know, with my daughters, it was good to finally have a schedule where I could see the girls more.
What about you personally, though? Have you been able to learn some new skills? Because you're talking about like building work and stuff. I read somewhere that you like a bit of hard graft building and mending things. I guess you've had a bit more time to do that.
Oh, a bit. Understatement. I mean, like I said, I moved to this house a good few years ago, and I was never really happy with the landscaping at the back and one thing and another. So yes, because there was no activity, I took the decision to get that sorted. My idea was get it lovely out the back here, and yeah, it's good. We managed to get sorted with a few things, and let's just say there's plenty of splashing going on out the back.
Hopefully, you've got a little bit of heating in it as well.
Oh yeah, well you've got to do, aren't you, in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, it sounds like you're handy with the tools as well, not like my mate who at the weekend put a pickaxe through a water main. So
joking?
No, he had to put his hand in the dike, you know, like that Dutch story that we all found out when we were kids, and he couldn't get hold of Anglia water for 2.5 hours before they came. And so
you're joking.
He put all of the street out, you know, nobody had any water pressure, and it made a complete mess of his backyard. So yeah, don't put a pickaxe through a water main. Don't put a pickaxe through your foot when you've got an important season in World Superbikes coming up. But it sounds like
exactly.
You escaped lightly anyway.
Back to the
race and all, back to the training, because you need very specific strength and conditioning of certain muscle groups for racing World Superbike at the highest level. So what do you find works best for you in terms of sports or gym work? I know you're a big cyclist.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's one of those. Luckily, naturally, I've always been, naturally, you know, my fitness and my strength is you know, not an issue. Fitness, you know, you've only got to speak with a couple of my old crew chiefs, and it's you know, fitness is not the issue. I think for me that you can work as well on strength. I've worked with various people in the past. I can do so many different routines and different ways of building strength, etc., etc. But riding bikes, you know, riding bikes, you know, that in training, it's all okay. But until you get to the racetrack and put an actual race bike through its paces with that extra grip and the extra forces, I don't think you can ever replicate that. But yeah, that's it. I like to keep fit, you know, from the cardio side. Strength, like I said, not really ever been a problem for me. Yeah, like I said, even Donington Park, probably the worst circuit on the calendar for stressing the arms. And for me, it's touch wood, never been an issue. I always feel well prepared on that. But I think one of the biggest things these days is flexibility.
Especially when you get to a certain age, eh?
Yeah, easy tiger. I'm 35 going on 18. I feel fantastic, to be fair.
That's one of us.
yeah, exactly. But no, flexibility, I mean, riding styles have changed, and, you know, so you see now how much riders are climbing on the bikes or climbing over the bikes. So that and kind of preventing injuries, that seems to be, you know, flexibility plays up for both of those.
Brilliant. What about nutrition? I mean, do you follow any special plans that have been prepared for you, or do you enjoy cooking your own food yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy certainly my own cooking, and, you know, I like that. But following plans, I follow plenty. You know, I've had different people giving me different nutrition plans. Even going as far as weighing your food to get the accurate intake so you can work out what you're intaking, what your output is, blah, blah, blah. And then kind of doing it my own way again, and all very, very similar outputs, similar, you know, end result. And it is what it is. It's, again, working with those people, I was always asking questions, you know, why this, why that way? Why do you want to do it? What's your reason for doing it? Why are they there? So again, use that information to my advantage and soaked it all up, yeah.
Mm. What about when you're away with a team? I mean, does the team hospitality look after you, or do they look after everyone's meals, or do you do your own thing sort of over a race weekend?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, a few years ago I was doing my own thing because, again, eating times, you know, it was different, you know, but some teams eat late. That's not me. I always like to eat a bit earlier. Get back to the motor home, get the kettle on, watch a movie, so generally 2-hour movie. Well, I like to have three pots of tea in that, you know, X amount of biscuits, that kind of thing. But no, hospitalities, I get well looked after, as does everybody, I suppose. But nothing, they do cook something different, but I'm not asking for anything too special. You know, it might be a piece of salmon, might be a piece of chicken, vegetables, that's it. And but generally, you know, I'll also see what's on the menu on the counter for the other lads, you know, other team members, and sample that as well.
So you can have a bit of dessert on a Saturday night before race day, can you?
Yeah, well, that's it. See, I'm not massive, unless it's an unbelievable dessert. I'm not really into that, you know. Even at home, I don't go crazy on the chocolate bars. I find it tastes, you know, quite false. So I'm more of a lovely, don't know, banana loaf kind of guy, you know, stuff like that, you know, but not loads. Generally, what you'll find with me is I can pack some food away, but it's generally the savoury stuff, you know. If I ever go out for a meal, and I tell you what, when was the last time you went out for a meal, eh? That's a story, isn't it?
I can't remember.
I've got some lovely clothes and lovely sets of socks that I get for all these occasions, and I think bloody muffs have had them. But but what you'll find with me, I'm normally like starter and main kind of guy, and then a coffee. Don't generally bother with dessert unless there's a fantastic cheesecake on there, and then. Depends how many people on the table. I'll get a cheesecake, a few spoons, and you know that's share it out.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Have a little bit of what you fancy, but not the whole plate. Fair enough.
Is that your motto? Is that your motto for all of life? Is it?
Absolutely, yeah. But I mean, when it comes to food, my kids always order, you know, always order more than they can eat. So when it comes to, I think I can remember eating in a restaurant, I never bother ordering a dessert because I know I'll get half of each of their desserts. So.
Exactly. It's a challenge, isn't it? I mean, I always generally cook fresh for my two daughters, and I mean, they're getting to be good eaters, and but if ever there's all left over, that's when I step in, and I tell you what, it definitely adds the calories up by the time you're putting their stuff away as well as yours.
Yeah, well, you're a Yorkshire man, you cannot throw food away, can you?
Exactly, lad. That's there's a lot to be said for that. I was brought up with that very same way, and yeah, me and my brothers, did we pack some food away.
Even coal, you used to eat coal, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Anything that's going, to be fair.
Anyway, just going to want to go briefly back to that M5, the slowest M5 in the county that you mentioned.
Beautiful, that.
You're a petrol head. What is it about this particular model that appeals to you?
Well, 8 cylinders, done. They just as, I mean, you don't even need radio on, do you? Just crack them windows a little bit, and oh, she purrs beautiful. And the good thing about it, you know, I mean, I'm a family man anyway, and so I've got my daughters, and when I go north, you know, times are different now, but generally I'd always speak to my granddad and my dad, etc., and say, look, we're off out for a bite to eat, and it's a nice taxi, isn't it? That M5 is a lovely taxi, so it's just easy, you know. I just think I've always been a fan of the 5 series, and I just think it's such a great all-round car. Whether I'm just going down the road here for a coffee, you know, she tickles through the town at 30 mile an hour, and then you know, it very, very quickly gets up to the 60 mile an hour or 70 mile an hour open speed limit, and not 1 mile an hour over, let me tell you.
I can believe it, absolutely. Glad you're enjoying it.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it puts it. I mean, like I say, I I tried to race motorcycles to my best ability. And you know, they're fast, they don't mess about, but when I get in that M5, it puts a smile on a Yorkshireman's face. So I think that's the target of motorsport and you know, in general, whether it's on the track or off the track, as long as you've got a smile and enjoying it, you know, who cares what anyone else thinks?
exactly, yeah, and you're certainly enjoying it. Anyway, back to those World Superbikes.
Yeah, go for it.
And the 2021 series, I mean, at the time that we're speaking today, Tom, I think fans have got to still wait quite a long time until the first round kicks off in Aragon. But how did the pre-season testing go for you this time?
Well, yeah, we need more pre-season testing. I mean, it's fantastic. You know, BMW, credit again. It's, you know, with the S1000RR, you know, that came out. It's, again, such a nice and easy bike to ride, really enjoyable, and straight away got up to a good level in Superbike. But obviously we saw we had some limitations, and yeah, it's obviously after 1.5 years to release a new model with the M1000RR, that shows the whole commitment to the World Superbike project. And obviously we've got our hands on that, and it's only 5 days old, if you like. So the testing has gone really, really well, considering. I think it was good that we held off on some of the initial tests because we're obviously limited on test dates. So it was good that we held off, I think, because it gave everyone more time to get even more ready. You know, even more parts arrived, and we were just better prepared. So I think we've already learned a lot. The good thing is we've made good steps in some good areas, and we've had, you know, 3 days to ourselves, 2 days with the rest of the World Superbike field, or the most of them anyway. And but we've not worked on anything other than kind of fundamental testing and trying to get good solid direction yet. So we've not seen where, you know, the potential of the bike, that's for sure. But we just need to really grab as many days as we can now with the testing, because to be honest, I think that first round in Aragon is going to sail here quite swiftly.
Yeah, it won't be long, will it? Now, you're often credited as being an excellent development rider, but do you actually enjoy the testing? Because it's not for everyone, is it?
It is not for everyone. And but again, this is me, and I really enjoy it because I feel very lucky indeed, to be honest, to be able to go around a track and see the restrictions, see the limitations, whether it's in the bike or in myself. You know, I'll get to a corner, I'll go around the corner, and I'm always thinking, well, that's no good. I should be able to go this much faster with this much, you know, different lead angle. It's hard to explain, but when I'm going around the track, it just comes to me, and I'm thinking, when I'm braking, it's like, well, that's not correct. You know, why is a bike behaving in this way? You know, it should be doing this, should be doing that. Same on the acceleration with the wheelie, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, and again, whenever you're watching movies and you see these computers and doing, you know, encrypting the codes, the mind, to me, just, it's working like that. And with BMW, I think we've made massive, massive improvements in such a short space of time. So, obviously, being modest, if you like, I don't like to take too much credit. You know, I know I've got a good skill set in that, but I always like to give credit to people around me as well, and it takes also good engineers to make those, you know, my information and my feedback into a better package. So team effort, but like I said, there is some real big names that do not like testing, and you know, I've shared garage with one of them. There's just some real good, unbelievable talents and world champions that say that just like to get on the bike and ride it, and they can get good results. So, which is obviously not a problem. That's what you need in racing, and but you also need the development work in the background, whether that's from a very, very good test rider or a rider that's live, you know, still racing in the championship, that's willing to give that commitment and the sacrifice to the project. Yeah,
I mean, you're right, some riders do literally ride around problems, and as immensely talented as they are, it's never going to bring a bike on. Sounds like you're very, very analytical and enjoy that process, and likewise with the right people in the garage who are able to translate what's coming out of your mouth effectively, that feedback, into changes, positive changes to the bike?
No, definitely. 100% because, like I said, there's... I'm definitely analytical, like you said. I put a lot of time, effort and thought into it. I mean, when a lot of these riders go home, you know, you see them just poof, they'll go out and they'll do the supermotos, they'll go out cycling, you know, which obviously I'll do the same, I'll do the cycling and everything. But even when I'm out cycling, you know, rather than holding a phone and whatever, doing my selfies for my social media, I don't know, I never really switch off to that because of my ambition to succeed. And so I'm always thinking, you know, on how we can improve, you know, and I keep going over the testing and I'll go through everything, right, you know, jot it all down and see where I can improve and where I can give better information to the team. But like you mentioned, and like I've just mentioned, there is some talented riders that, again, I'll just say it on a bit of a broader thing, but there is some unbelievable riders that, if you give them a racehorse, let's say, they will jump on that racehorse and they'll win. But if you give them a donkey, they could, you know, the same, they would never make that donkey into a racehorse. And you've kind of got to appreciate sometimes how that donkey gets to become a racehorse, you know, because it don't happen overnight. And there's a lot of, you know, technical information that goes into that. So, you know, that's how I look at it. But generally speaking, there's a handful of riders on. I could probably list 4 or 5 riders in World Superbikes that I believe if you put them on a racehorse, and I won't mention the manufacturer, but I think there's 4 or 5 riders that you put them on the racehorse, they could win races. But that's part of the beauty of racing, you know. And I've started from ground zero once before and being successful. Yeah, I still believe under my own efforts I could have had a couple more world titles, but I had a little bit of bad luck come my way. Plus, things weren't so rosy at home at the time as well. And you've just got to take that as a life experience. But certainly without the bad luck on the racetrack, I think I could have had 2 more world titles, but I still count my lucky stars that I've got the one. You know, I've enjoyed it all the way, really. And like now, my ambition is to try and repeat that with BMW. That would be another dream come true. Yeah,
superb. And it's really good that you acknowledge the whole team's effort in any success as well, because what was it the Americans say? There is no I in team.
It's true
though, isn't it? And I think you mentioned earlier something about, you know, like the commitment and the approach of BMW for this racing project. That must have been a real, maybe not a surprise, but a real benefit for you personally, just how much everyone is into this whole project, how much support there is for it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like I said, when I first joined this, you know, the whole project really in 2019. So at the end of 2018, that was my attraction, was basically the manufacturer, so BMW. But with their kind of partnership with SMR, Sean Muir Racing, it's I think between them, I saw the potential of, well, there's a manufacturer there with pedigree, with ambition, and same again with Sean Muir. I mean, with BMW, they also had track record as well in terms of, I think it was 2012. I thought Melandri was going to win it. He came on strong, and
so did I.
Yeah, and then
he should have won it. He should have won it.
them boys almost give me the world title there, but yeah,
thinking about that coming together.
With Marco, he just had a couple of offs at the end of the season, and you think, wow, that he lost that world championship there. But so BMW have got, you know, got a track record, and like I said, with Sean Muir Racing, he's certainly runs a great team. You know, good the infrastructure. You've only got to turn up in the paddock, and like I said, he's got presence there. You know, with the whole setup. So the building blocks was there. That was my attraction, and now we've got the upgrade in the M1000RR now. So
how different does that MRR superbike feel compared to the S1000RR that you raced in 2020? Just in terms of sort of gut feel, I know that there's a long, long way to go in terms of development.
Definitely. Well, simple answer is it's more focused at the racetrack. And have you had the chance to compare the two personally?
I think they've got my name down for that next week. Chance would be a fine thing.
Yeah, well, there we go. So yeah, basically more focus for the racetrack, and you'll feel that straight away. I mean, I remember when I jumped from the S to the M, and straight away I just felt more at home on the racetrack. You know, the handling of it, the increase in engine performance, you know, just throughout the range basically makes it more linear on the racetrack. You know, I could go on the winglets in certain areas of the track, and yeah, it's an improvement. There's no question, and certainly a better platform to start the World Superbike. You know, to be inside the World Superbike garage, let's say, it's a better tool for that. And but it's one of those, because it's at the end of the day, you just need small things. But not just one and two. I mean, if you make a lot of small things in certain areas, it makes a massive difference. But yeah, I'm very happy and grateful that they recognise this and basically made a big investment for this purpose.
Yeah, and it's also going to be great for the fans and for the project to see double the number of BMWs on the grid this year, isn't it?
So there we go. Well, that's easy, isn't it, from 2 to 4. Yeah, do you know what? It's great, and again, that hopefully that will help out the project. Hopefully, help out myself. You know, I'll take a bit of help if I can do it. And you know, it just means more laps, more, you know, like you said, double the laps. Basically, because you're getting four bikes now instead of the two, and those laps, it's all information for the engineers, for, you know, for myself. Thing is with myself, you know, if I look at someone else's data, I understand it, but I've always worked on myself, you know, and because everyone's different, you know, everyone rides different, and I've always worked on myself. And like I said earlier on, that if I approach a corner in one way, blah blah blah, you know, I'm doing it that way for a reason. I know I'd like to do it another way. There's just a few things, and you know, even when I had Ben Spees as a teammate here, you know, I still stuck to my thing, because you know, everyone's different, and he was an incredible talent, and but just, you know, didn't work for me, if you like. I think if I tried to ride in that way, again, it was just different. The bike setup, the riding style, it's one of those. And to me, that's why racing's great, because you've got all these different riding styles, all these different mates of bike, and they all circulate within a couple of attempts.
Yeah, fantastic for the fans to watch as well. It's interesting what you're saying there about different riding styles. I mean, that's obvious, and I guess in a way it's for the engineers and the team to be able to analyse different sets of data and try and find one way to effectively move a bike forward. But certainly talking to Michael, your new teammate, a few weeks ago, and he made a comment that he watched you a few times in corners, and you could see how much the double R at that time was struggling. It was great in the corners, but struggling coming out onto the straight. So it's going to be really interesting for you to be maybe watching him this time as well, and to be able to sort of share data. Do you think that the two of you that the pairing could be good for the development of the bike?
We certainly will be having a lot of laughs. That's for sure. It's I feel like I'm the sensible one in the team now. He's
a relaxed Dutchman, isn't he?
I tell you what, that Dutch is definitely not wired up, correct, that Dutchman. But yeah, good laugh. So, but yeah, again, then that's just riding style. I used to get into a corner, stop, turn and get out. And it just shows how you adapt, because when that S1000 double R was obviously lacking in some engine performance, let's say, I mean, I remember running into the back of people in the corners just because I was carrying the corner speed, and that was against my natural riding style. But it just shows how our riders adapt, but hopefully we can bring it back a couple of levels this year and use some power. And that's generally my approach. But we'll see. We'll see. There's still little bits where I feel we can improve the chassis again. But for now, it's we're all heading in that direction. And certainly what Michael said to you was true. We did everything great, braking, cornering. We just lost out in the straight line in that time, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, the thing that people don't always realise is that it's not just BMW that might be making steps. I mean, there are new bikes from pretty much all the manufacturers for this year. There's also like new riders coming into the championship. I think there's a couple of new circuits that you might be visiting. So I think 2021, it is especially exciting, even just from your perspective of racing against new riders. That's got to keep things really fresh, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, very, very much so. And like you said, nobody stands still in this business, and I'm not going to go into it, but we certainly needed to make steps based on last year. I feel we've probably made two steps. Some of the competition have made one step, so I think between now and the start of the season, we need to make one more. So but the beauty is that we made the two steps rather than the one, and I think if we get chance and we put it all together, we can make another step, yeah.
Are you someone who sets personal targets?
I would say so, yeah, and if you want me to share those with you, the answer is no. But yeah, I do. Obviously, I can, generally, there's amount of points that you need to, to have on the championship table at the end of the year, and just from personal ambition, yeah, there's a certain amount of specific results that I'd like to achieve. Unfortunately, we've been a long way from the target the last couple of years, but that's what we wake up, and I mean every morning that's the motivation.
That's why you go to work.
Exactly, and that'll never change, I don't think. That's the desire to be to win, and the desire to be successful is in my blood, if you like. It's in the mindset. Yeah,
I enjoy the qualification as much as I do the racing quite often, and especially at Super Pole formats over the years as well. And of course, you've got the record for the most Super Poles in World Superbike, about 50, I believe. So do you think that this new bike is going to increase your chances of building in this number in that area in 2021? Gut feeling?
Yeah, I think the gut feeling is yes. I mean, I was close a few times on the old one, which surprised me anyway. Well, I'm just trying to think. Yeah, if, well, 2020 Phillip Island, I mean, circuit record, considering how many attempts we were missing in the first sector and in the speed trap, to get a circuit record just shows that I was pedalling it half decent through the turns. But I don't know. I mean, again, I'd never want to blow my own trumpet or sound arrogant, but qualifying's all about, you know, taking the best from the package, really. You've got that massive increase of grip for that one lap, and you've got to understand that very, very quick. So I think qualifying is all about the sheer speed of the rider, but hopefully with this new M version, we can hopefully start the counter ticking again.
Did it ever get stressful, like keeping winning all those watches? What?
Yeah. Do you know what?
What did you do with them all?
Yeah, I was giving them to team members, whether it's team members, sponsors, or friends, you know, there's no way. I mean, I can't get 50 watches on, can I, unless I start putting them in all regions.
You're like one of those dodgy geezers who's like selling them on the high
street. Exactly.
Up each arm, you know?
Yeah. I got them everywhere. I had to shorten strap on a couple of them.
Listen, to all those RR owners out there who love their bikes, but they're not lucky enough to race them like you, what advice would you give them to really allow them to enjoy those BMWs to the maximum?
Well, I don't know. I think it's like anything in general, really. I mean, enjoyment, that is just it to me. And I think with a lot of in a lot of aspects of life, and certainly in racing or motorsport or riding on the road, is literally just take one step back, or even two, just so, you know, just walk before you can run. So one or two steps back, to take it all in. And, you know, like anything really, I suppose, if you're learning an instrument or whatever, I think it's all about, same with the riding, just all about understanding things first, get it coming naturally. So the way the bike feels on opening the throttle, and how it feels on closing it, how the initial application of the brake is, you know, what behavior of the bike, you know, as soon as you know, everything like that, the initial, whenever you put force through the handlebars or footrest, what, you know, where does the bike want to go? Does it want to tip in fast or slow? And just everything like that. And once you have that understanding, and it doesn't take long. So believe me, if you take one or two steps back to understand just what's going on, and then from there on, you know, just so everything becomes natural, becomes like clockwork, and then the rest comes a lot easier. You know, hey, do you like that?
Yeah, you make it sound so easy.
No, well, again, you know, I suppose when time allows, you know, I might say, like on these training track days, you know, I think stuff like that, just to give some experience back to the fans is not a bad thing, because you can just see that so much enthusiasm in these riders. But definitely, you know, and again, just repeat myself, if you can walk before you run and just understand your bike, you know, how it feels on the, you know, on the gearbox, upshift, backshift, you know, blah blah blah, it's all just, if you just understand that first, and then that's it, you'll progress. Whereas I think if you go to your, you know, and start running straight away, you'll just keep running, and you know, let's say you'll never get to sprinting. Whereas I think if you walk and understand, you'll progress to running, and from there you'll have some understanding from your bike, from walking, you know, you just keep going. Whereas if you go at it flat out, I was going to say somewhere else, and I thought, no, that
wouldn't get that past the sensors.
Exactly. So I just think, definitely just understanding the bike and work from there, yeah.
Brilliant, yeah. And finally, Tom, you've worked for many of the big Japanese manufacturers, but what's the best thing about working for a German team?
The sausage. I've got to say the sausage. do you know what? It's, like you said, to be fair, it's not the sausage, because I keep telling them, get you sent to Yorkshire, we'll show you how to make a sausage. Bloody hell, they're only playing at it over there. But
I'm in Lincolnshire, and I find the Lincolnshire sausages hard to beat. But
no, yeah. there's a lovely butcher's close to me, and I tell you what, they would sort you out with plenty of sausage. But going back to the question, like I said, I've worked with the, you know, like I said, some top Japanese manufacturers, and so working now with BMW, you know, European manufacturer, I have to say that I was very excited for all that, because I had a big interest to work with not only BMW but a European based manufacturer, because just to see about the mentality, and it's a different mentality, and I think it would be wrong for me to go in and tell you what, you know, and kind of broadcast what's different, you know, what's better, what's worse, because I'm not one for really, you know, spilling too many beans. But no, I certainly enjoy the mentality now, you know, at this point working with the European manufacturer, and we'll see. Hopefully it can play into our hands for this coming season. But I have to say that, looking forward to getting going. Certainly looking forward to a few more test days beforehand, and we'll see.
Brilliant. Tom, I know I told you this little chat would only take half an hour, but you're an interesting bloke, so I've more than doubled that. Sorry for taking up all of your time, but it's been a real pleasure chatting with you. And on behalf of all BMW racing fans, we wish you the very best of success on the 2021 Superbike World Championship Series. Thanks for being our guest on Ride and Talk today.
No worries. Thank you. Always a pleasure. And thanks for considering me for today's chat, lad. We'll no doubt speak again in the near future. Cheers.
Thanks, Tom. Always good to chat. And thanks for your honest and revealing insights into life as a factory rider. Good stuff. By the way, if you listeners want even more of a Superbike fix, don't forget that the BMW Motorrad World Superbike Team and BMW Motorrad Motorsport can be followed on social media. Right, that's enough from me for today. Let the season begin, and let's hope we can get to the track soon. Bye for now.